Gold's not going up because things are good. Gold's going up because things are bad. And there's three things that are bad. One's in the White House, one's in Peking, and one's in Moscow. And that's all that's doing it.
So little of gold production is purchased for industrial uses. So the rest of it is your central banks, speculation, jewelry, and these are all subject to such public perceptions, and therefore it's more of a beauty pageant affair and harder, more difficult to predict, but it's not going to follow the simple economic lines of other assets.
On this episode of Early Bird, what are the bull case and the bear case for investing in gold in 2026? Joining us today on the podcast to discuss these topics are Fergus Hodgson, director of Econ Americas, and Clem Chambers, founder of ENewFN. If you're an investor looking to stay on top of the latest market trends, then you're listening to the right podcast. This is Early Bird, and I'm your host, Stephen Lerner. Before we get to today's discussion, let me tell you how you can save time and beat the market through Early Bird, a free daily email newsletter featuring commentary about the latest trends in stocks, cryptocurrency, and equity crowdfunding. Early Bird is designed to help individual and non-professional investors stay on top of all of the critical investing trends. The newsletter is 100% free and is sent to your email box each weekday morning. Subscribe to Early Bird for free at www.earlybird.email. Once again, that's earlybird.email. And now, today's discussion. All right, everybody, welcome to the Early Bird podcast. Today we're talking about investing in gold in 2026. The price of gold reached an all-time high in January 2026, and then by the first week of February, that price started to drop down again. So what is happening with gold in 2026, and what should investors know? We have assembled a roundtable of experts who can explain it all. Fergus, I'll start with you. Let's take a look at the market right now. Why have gold prices been so volatile in 2026 so far?
Sure. My personal view is that we're coming to the end of a Pax Americana, that's U.S. order or dominance in the world, and a reordering of geopolitical priorities, a new paradigm. Some call it the Trump corollary or the Monroe Doctrine 2.0. And so there's just a great deal of awareness that let's say the U.S., I don't know whether imperialism is the right term, but U.S. order is fragile, as is the U.S. dollar. And I think that's drawing a lot of interest in alternatives to the, you know, past perception that the U.S. dollar and the U.S. Financial sector are safe havens.
Okay, so it's going back to geopolitical risk, it looks like. And specifically, you're talking about...
That's my personal opinion.
Issues yeah. related to the standing of the United States in the world. As it relates. Okay. Interesting. Clem, what do you think? Why has the price of gold been so wild so far in 2026?
I wouldn't disagree with that, but I would be a little less passive. Yeah, gold is for war. Yeah, America is going against China, toe-to-toe, at an economic level to start off with. And as the ratchet of geopolitical tension goes up, countries have to lay in gold. They just have to lay it in. It's a strategic and money currency for global conflict. So they're just buying it in. And when governments buy, Wall Street has to get out of the way. You can't play games with governments buying tons and tons and tons of it. So that set it off. And it's run too far, or rather silver ran too far. Silver got FOMO, started to pull gold up with FOMO too. And, you know, trees don't grow to the skies, avalanche price crash, and that's pulled things back. And we'll probably get into some sort of balance soon, some sort of equilibrium, and then we'll find out whether, and I think gold will just grind on up and away we'll go again in a more normal, sedate pace rather than up like a rocket, down like a rock.
As we've seen in the past year. So those are definitely factors that you brought up, Clem. Certainly FOMO trade, gold played a part in that FOMO trade in 2025 and 2026. I have two other ideas that I've noticed that might be catalysts to why the price of gold might be a little kooky so far in 2026. One is more of a U.S.-centric issue. The other is more global. The U.S.-centric issue is what I like to call the Warsh shock. I'm referring to Kevin Warsh, who was nominated by President Trump as the federal chair of the reserve early in the year. That might have sent a hawkish signal to the markets. I wonder if either of you think that maybe contributed a little bit to why the price jumped and then fell in the past week or so, or am I just, you know, thinking too far ahead maybe?
Yeah, I do not see it as one of the key drivers. There has been uncertainty. Also, his presence would suggest a clampdown on inflation, or that's the idea, which would be more associated with the drawdown or the lowering the prices in the last week or so. So it has a role, but it's so unpredictable as to what his presence would mean and whether he would actually live up to the media reputation as a more hawkish Federal Reserve chairman.
Okay, got it.
Well, I'd say this, considering President Trump has already menaced Jay Powell and threatened him with criminal proceedings, and we all know why, on the basis of him not putting interest rates down because President Trump says so. Why would anybody sign up for that job if he was going to be a hawk? He'd have to be a maniac. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's no way that he's signing up to be a hawk when the last guy, who wasn't particularly hawkish, has not only been thrown under the bus, but been threatened to be put in orange and thrown in the pen. It doesn't make sense, does it? Nobody in their right mind would sign up for that job. And the other guys that were put forward for that job have said, oh, probably no, thank you. And therefore, this guy's got the selection instead because he said, yes, boss. Whatever you say, boss, yes, boss.
Yeah, that's a good point you bring up, Clem. Yeah, that's why he probably accepted the role. But the other catalyst that I think might be playing a factor, especially behind the recent decline in gold, I wonder if there's, and this is not just gold, this is why maybe explains why crypto has fallen in the past week or two as well. I wonder if there's been a global deleveraging among traders and investors. Those traders who may have borrowed money or to invest in gold, maybe they had to sell their positions to cover costs. I wonder if, is that a factor? We've been hearing about deleveraging and the impact it's had on crypto in the past week or two, but do you think that maybe is a factor behind gold's recent demise, or maybe I'm overthinking that one too?
Well, one other element I wanted to address coming from Clem was just, let's say, the herd mentality or this fear of missing out. Obviously, gold is vulnerable to this tendency. And I remember maybe a month ago when I just saw the prices rising incredibly, I thought there's obviously some herd behavior at play. And smarter or more cooler heads no doubt will take some profits there. And especially not only in the actual, let's say, physical ETFs or, you know, the actual direct ownership, but various other avenues, whether you're talking about streaming or royalty companies or various mining companies. I do see those exhibiting that, where long-term holders took their returns this past month.
You know, it has been a crowded trade, and at the end of every month, all the funds have to do their window dressing. And if they're too overcommitted, they have to get back into mandate. Now, when markets are very overstretched, when you get everybody rushing for the exit for technical reasons, it causes a cascade. And that's what you saw. And that pulled down everything and blew up lots of people because they were leveraged. So it always happens. Boom, bubble, bust. Boom, bubble, bust. Where's the real price is really the next question. Not why did a market that went vertical and broke all records and had everybody's hair standing on end, why did it collapse? I mean, that's as old as the tulip bubbles. So, you know, the collapse. And when things collapse, all sorts of systemic things happen. All sorts of things fall that shouldn't fall because they're all locked together. And then it takes a period of time for the real price to be reestablished. And what you're seeing now is a period of volatility, up a lot one day, down a lot the next day. And there's definitely been a liquidity event caused by this. Mm-hmm. And that will take some time to flush through the system. But it's probably caused by the end of the month. that all the funds rushed for the exit, so they didn't get told off by the compliance officer. Why have you got so much of this? You're not allowed to have this. No, you're meant to have 1%, not 5%. And all that sort of stuff that goes on at funds at the end of quarters, at the end of years, at the end of months, and then overstretched, it all happens. They all dash for the exit, panic on the dance floor, crash.
Yeah, it was quite a sell-off. That could definitely be a big reason behind it. I'm sure listeners are wondering, you know, how exposed should they be to gold in 2026? Should they be exposed if they're not already? You know, they're thinking all these questions. So I wanted to take a look at the bull and bear cases for gold this year, and we'll start with the bull case. and we'll take a look at the circumstances that have to occur for gold to have a really good year. Clem, I'll start with you. What is the bull case for gold this year? And by bull case, I mean what circumstances have to be good for the price of gold to continue to rise in 2026?
It's the opposite. What things have to be bad? Gold's not going up because things are good. Gold's going up because things are bad. And there's three things that are bad. One's in the White House, one's in Peking, and one's in Moscow. And that's all that's doing it. Mm.
So the geopolitical issues you're pointing to.
Yeah, there's this big blooming conflict coming up. You remember the American Secretary of Defense is now called the Secretary of War. How much of a memo do you need?
That's a good point. Fergus, what about you? What do you think has to set up for gold to have a fantastic year, whether it's geopolitical issues or other issues? What has to occur for gold to have an outstanding year?
Okay, I do agree with Clem in many regards that gold is basically a buffer against bad news. So it's almost like bad things have to happen. So if there was some kind of security scare in the crypto markets, for example, because crypto and gold are somewhat substitutes in the eyes of many retail investors. Also, if U.S. inflation were to continue at a high track, that would continue interest in gold. I do want to note, too, though, that I agree with Clem's earlier remark about the monthly cycle and the rebalancing of many portfolios, that, of course, if people have gotten disproportionate exposure to gold, they would have brought that back in. I personally remain confident. I'm still bullish on gold. I think that the natural long-term growth will be there. So I do think, yes, the heightened inflation, instability in crypto or competing markets, further geopolitical tensions. Also, let me think. No, I had one other note down here, but so I just think that is the basic theme, mm-hmm. that gold is basically responding well to bad news rather than good news. And so we can talk about lots of good news that would be almost bearish for gold, ironically.
So I wonder, because you brought up, and you both did, that bad things have to happen for the price of gold to rise. Increased debt levels from nations, would that be one of those bad things that might make investors want to go towards gold? Or more central banks buying gold, would that be a signal to buy gold? More inflows into gold ETFs? Any of those, would any of those impact the price of gold for a bull case in 2026?
Well, I'll say this. The central banks are not going to stop buying gold, right? Tension's going up. The tension's going up because of Taiwan was on the timetable for being in big trouble next spring because China has said PLA be ready by 2027. And be ready means be ready for Taiwan. Well, they've had a little bit of a punch up, has the leadership of China with the PLA. So that might be delayed a little bit. But the whole thing about America versus China, that's going to pivot around Taiwan. And that was set for good weather in spring of 2027. And that's why gold's been going up. And that's, funnily enough, why China's been buying so much of it. Yeah, gold is for war.
It's definitely a fear asset, so to speak, you know.
You buy it's for war. Yeah. It's the currency of war. It's what countries pay for stuff in war. They don't pay for it in paper. You have to pay for it in gold. And that's why they're all buying it. That's why Poland's been buying it. Why do you think Poland buys gold? Because gold is for war. And guess who's on their border?
Russia.
There you go.
Yep, makes sense. So we talked a bit about the bull case for gold in 2026 and what sort of things have to happen for the price of gold to have another outstanding year. Let's take a look at the flip side. Let's take a look at the bear case. What has to happen for gold to have a bad year? Fergus, I'll start with you.
Yeah.
What circumstances have to happen for it to be a bad year for gold prices, that the so-called bear case?
Well, so we've been referring to two chief ingredients. One is geopolitical tension, and the other one is inflationary pressure, right? So one element somewhat goes together. So this year, there is the renegotiation of the USMCA trade agreement. And if that were to go well, right, let's say that let's say, more open trade between Canada, Mexico, and the United States, that would be deflationary, or would be lowering prices, and that would be bearish for gold. Also, if there were to be a resolution of conflicts, let's say this confrontation with Venezuela were to go peacefully, or there were to be basically a less combative approach from the White House, I would see that as bearish for gold. So in a funny way, yes, it's the good news. And even if this gentleman, Kevin Warsh, were to have an effect at bringing down inflation, of course, that would be would lead people away from gold as well.
It goes back to political stuff. It goes back to policies, both domestic and foreign, that could impact the price of gold, you're saying, this year. Certainly have a negative effect if things go well.
Well, we just have to remember that so little of gold production is purchased for industrial uses. So the rest of it is your central banks, speculation, jewelry, and these are all subject to such public perceptions, and therefore it's more of a beauty pageant affair and more difficult to predict. But it's not going to follow the simple economic lines of other assets.
It's a little bit of a different asset. You're right about that, Fergus. Clem, what circumstances have to happen for the price of gold to drop in 2026? It could be geopolitical, but doesn't have to be. What circumstances do you think?
It's very simple. It's the opposite of what I just said. You know, sanity has to break out. Yeah. And, you know, the world seems a bit short on sanity. Remember, it's only a few days ago we were talking about America potentially invading Greenland. I mean, you know, what Mickey Mouse world are we living in? And until that sort of behavior starts to go away and people start being diplomatic again and people start saying, hey, why don't we do some great trade together, guys? Why don't we all just get rich rather than stop this? Oh, we're going to do that. You're an idiot. I mean, the world has never seen such outpourings of nonsense on the world stage. Yeah. And if that isn't enough to make gold go up, I don't know what else you need. But taking away the outrageous behavior of lots of people at high levels, you just have to think about, well, perhaps sanity has to break out or will break out. Mm-hmm. That if sanity starts to break out, then gold will go down. If peace starts to break out, gold will go down. If that ratchet keeps going, well, obviously that's catastrophic. If it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse, at some time we would hope people will start being sensible again. And whether that's after the midterms or whether that's after the next presidential American election or whatever, yeah, until that day, until that ratchet stops, price is going up. When it stops, we hope it will, it'll go down. That's as simple as that in my book.
Got it. So that's what has to happen. Those are definitely some good points. This is the opposite of what you said earlier, Clem. A few other ideas, just since it's to wrap up this whole discussion on the bear case. What if interest rates, which most people expect to decrease this year, what if interest rates stay higher for longer? Would that hurt the price of gold in 2026?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I don't know why everyone expects them to go down, given the elevated inflation, or at least maybe it's lower versus last year, but still above what it should be. There's one element that we've not discussed, and that is the supply side. Mm-hmm. Now, one of the reasons why people don't discuss it is that the supply of gold is so constrained or very inflexible. The only real impact can be, let's say there were a major trade war or a war or something like the COVID pandemic all over again, that would really impede supply or production. It's very hard to increase production in the short term. So it's very hard to bring the price down on the production or supply side.
Oh, looking at supply, that's a good way to see it.
3,200 tons a year.
Yeah. Well, what if, hypothetically, what if a lot of retail stores, jewelers, stop buying as much gold because of the high price of gold? Would that cause the price of gold to drop?
That's not driving it. Central banks are buying.
Okay.
Central banks are buying it, and they're buying it every month, tons of it. And that's what's 3,200 tons. Do the math. That's a lot of money.
But what about, and this is probably my last question, what about individual traders? If a lot of investors out there feel that it's a bit too crowded to be in gold and stop buying as much gold, would that cause the price of gold to decrease this year?
That's just so hard to predict, Stephen. Yeah, because let's say crowd psychology is very confusing as to what will cause it to go one way or the other, because people might get excited that it's getting hot, right? This fear of missing out, and jump on in. And then for some reason, there's something that will make them turn and all jump right out. And I don't know when that turn might be. I mean, like I said, I'm confident that we're at basically a structurally higher level for the long term. And I see the 5,000 being stable. I see there's plenty of support to keep it there. And this recent sort of sell-off showed that plenty of people are willing to come in if it goes down at all.
If the geopolitical situation remains the same, it will grind up. Yeah, and everything else is noise. It's just grinding away because the central banks are buying it, because their countries need it, because of the tension that is ever increasing. And while that is the case, they will buy it because they need a stockpile in the horrible eventuality that, you know, things will only be purchasable in gold between countries like it was back in WW2. Yeah, and they have to buy it. They have to buy it. If that tension goes up, they need more. And if the tension goes down, they might start to think, ooh, maybe we should think about selling some of it.
Thank you again to Fergus Hodgson and Clem Chambers for sharing your insights on gold. And thank you to everyone for listening to today's discussion. We'll be back next week for another episode of Early Bird. Have a great day.